Welcome to the Your Dream Business podcast. I'm your host, Therese Heath-Waring, an international best-selling author, award-winning speaker, TEDx speaker, certified coach, and the host of this number one ranked podcast. I am so excited to guide you on the journey of creating a business and life that you not only love, but one that perfectly aligns with you and the season of life that you're in. In each episode, I'll share with you easy, actionable, and insightful strategies to grow your online business. Plus, we'll be diving into some mindset tools and strategies that keep you focused, motivated, and are going to stop you from getting in your own way. So if you're a course creator, membership owner, or coach, you are in the right place. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Your Dream Business podcast. I hope you've had a great start to your week if you're listening to this on Monday. So today I have a really good guest and I'm very, very much looking forward to today's conversation because I selfishly read what she could talk about and was like, I want that. I need that. So today I have Karen Chong on the podcast, who's an international transformation speaker, writer, champion for self-employment, and a healer who has worked on thousands of people worldwide. With, not on, she might have worked on them, we'll find out. And after a health crisis in her early 20s, capitalized on her spiritual journey, she was driven by curiosity to explore the mystic and energetic systems that govern our experience of ourselves and others and life itself. As always, everybody, I've done a terrible job reading it, but you're not here for that, thank goodness. So please welcome to the podcast, the very lovely Karen. Karen, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. And thank you for having me on your show.
I am excited to have you on the show. I hate the reading bit. Like, I think there must be some deep-seated childhood thing of me having to stand in front of a class and read because, like, I just hate the reading thing. So I apologize if I've done a terrible job, which is why I always start by saying, why don't you tell us who you are and how you got to do what you do today? And you have a really interesting backstory, so it'd be great to hear it.
Okay. So, you know, I've owned a number of businesses myself, and I'm sort of, I'm the type of person who loves creating things. Mm-hmm. And so after a short stint in the corporate world and after having done my law degree, I then started creating my own businesses because I would just get really frustrated with the corporate environment and the structure and what it was that I wasn't allowed to do and why I had to justify everything to everybody all the time in order to get anything done. Mm-hmm. So that's not sort of the way that I am. So I created a number of businesses, and one of them was that I was a real estate agent in San Francisco with my husband, mm-hmm. Chris. We had a team and we were really successful from the outside. Okay. So top producers, you know, tens of millions of dollars in sales, team, whole thing. And like I said, from the outside, looks really successful. We have clients that love us, mainly referral-based business. It's kind of like your dream business. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except I felt like crap because I was always feeling like I didn't have enough. Mm-hmm. So I was what I call a serial spreadsheeter. So I would spreadsheet how much cushion we had before we would have to sell our house and move in with my parents. Okay. So I don't know why that was the sort of like end horrible scenario. Yeah.
But like immediate laugh, like coming from the worst thing that could possibly happen is.
Yeah. I love it. Is. Yeah. I have to sell our house and move in with my parents, which is not going to be joyful for anybody. No. It's like a disaster. So for me, I was always hounded by this fear of not enough. And I would drive my husband and partner with it, and I would drive our team with it, and I would drive myself hardest with it. So I was always working really long hours and doing my best and feeling like I wasn't doing enough. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, I mean, I'd been on a spiritual journey for like 25 years or something like this. So I was learning all of these different modalities, you know, so I'd done all the traditional personal development stuff
you
know, by really well-known coaches. So I was like, okay, well, let's help myself along. So let's do the coaching. Let's do all the personal development stuff. And then I learned a whole bunch of different modalities that are more out there, but they're energetic modalities that made sense to me. And I was like, okay, I'm an implementer. Let's implement it, right? Because I'm like, does it work? You know, I'm kind of like that type of person who's like a healthy skeptic. I'm like, really? All right, you say you do all this, but does it really work, right? So I would implement it to see if it did. So I was doing all that stuff, having success, but still coming back to this place of scarcity. So one day I was looking around and I think I just asked this question to the universe. I don't know if this ever happens to any of you, but you just are like kind of at your wit's end a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at other agents who were producing more, meaning they were selling more homes that were more valuable mm-hmm. than we were. And they didn't care about their clients and weren't doing a good job. Not all of them, but some of them. And I was like, how in God's name is that happening?
We've all and got those people we can think about. I know it. We know it. Yeah.
You're just like, I kind of hate you.
Yeah.
Even though I kind of want what you have. Yeah. So anyhow. Anyway, so I was asking this question, why do I keep hitting this ceiling? Mm-hmm. I hate this freaking ceiling. Like I can feel it there. And I'm working my tail off. How do I get past it? So anyway, I ended up going to a retreat. It was a meditation retreat. Mm-hmm. And I did something which I'd never done before. So it was a 12-day retreat, which for anyone who owns your own business, you know that's like a freaking long-ass time.
Yeah.
If I'm allowed to swear a little bit. But it's long, right? 12 days away from your business, it's like insanity. Mm-hmm. And then when I got there, what I intuitively felt was, oh, this isn't really, I don't really love the field. It's not that stable. And so I actually didn't go to the retreat. I actually meditated on my own for 12 days, which, okay, so I'm of Asian descent. And I'm a very good student, and I sure as heck don't pay for something and don't attend it and take good notes and then implement.
Yes.
That's not happening in my world, you know? So the fact that I intuitively chose to not do that and then go into my own form of meditation was like mind-blowing in itself. But in that meditation, I'm so glad I followed, because that's when I had what I would call my big awakening experience, where I merged with the oneness, lost a sense of myself, and perceived everything as frequencies. And I'll talk about what that means in a minute. But when I came back out of that experience, which ended up being 9 hours, which I did not plan. It's not like I was like, today I'm going to wake up and go into a 9-hour meditation. Like,
I'll see you later. Oh
my. Yeah. It wasn't really on my plan for that day.
Yeah.
But that's what happened. And then when I came back, I really could sense that everything was an illusion and that it was beautiful and was there for us to go from. And that everything was still frequencies and that I could make change at that level. So that's how I began. And weirdly, through all this coincidence, I happened to be overlapping with a friend who was there for like 12 hours. And she asked me to help her, like literally within 12 hours of me coming out of the meditation. So I did. And then word spread. And here we are, right? With what my company now is, which is Spherical Luminosity. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, there's a couple of things. First off, the fact that you went, the fact that you booked in for a 12-day meditation, like retreat, I've done retreats. Uh-huh. I did, was it like 3 or 4 days on one and 3 or 4 days on another? Uh-huh. 12 days, I don't know how people do that. And then the fact that you went, no, I'm just going to meditate on my own and for 9 hours, like I meditate and I know there's lots of people who are maybe listening to this that have dabbled or tried. I could not meditate for 9 hours. Mm-hmm. Like
I didn't think I could either.
That's amazing. Like,
yeah.
Well,
I think, you know, it's funny because I used to hate meditation. I know that the irony of this, all of this is quite large, but I used to hate it because what I would do is I would sit in meditation because I was supposed to sit, you know, like I read the books that told you it was supposed to help you with your focus and help you with your stress, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. I'll do the thing. So I sit down on my little cushion that I bought because clearly
you can't meditate without it.
Cushion. And I would sit there and supposedly count my breaths. And after about 7 breaths, I'd be pissed off because I'm like, I have this huge list of crap that I've got to get done. And I'm sitting here not doing any of it.
Yeah.
And it's getting longer.
Yeah. Get it.
So I get it.
Honestly, that's amazing. So explain what your business is then. Like, what it is you actually do in the business.
Yeah. So what I do is something that I call frequency work. And I think to understand it and to understand why it matters to you, it basically releases these invisible patterns or what I call distortion patterns that keep you stuck. So some of your distortion patterns are conscious, like you're aware of where they are. So meaning you feel like you don't have enough. You're probably really clear if that's something for you. That's a distortion pattern. If you don't feel like you're worthy of not working hard all the time, that's also a distortion pattern that you may be less aware of. Mm-hmm. But these things that I call distortion patterns happen at the frequency level. And once you start to release those, everything changes. And the reason everything changes is because everything happens at the higher vibrational level first of frequency, and then the physical reorganizes around it. So let me just break that down because it's kind of a new concept and it's kind of weird, you know?
Yeah, no,
so
I love it.
Everything to me is vibration. We're all light vibrating. Okay, this is not a new concept, right? This has been talked about in science for like decades, right? Yes. So the rate of vibration dictates the form of the thing. So if you take water, the molecules are vibrating fast, it's steam. And when those molecules slow down in vibration, it becomes water. And when the vibrational level slows down even more, it becomes ice or something dense and hard. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So if you take that idea and you extrapolate it all the way out to consciousness, okay, which is extraordinarily high in vibration, and that we can't measure yet with our tools. We can kind of measure the byproduct of it in the body, but we can't measure consciousness itself. And if you think about the oneness, pure source, source, the divine, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't really matter to me. That very highly resonating consciousness from which everything comes and to which everything returns, that is vibrating at an extraordinarily high rate. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to call that the oneness, okay, for the just ease. So for the oneness to experience anything other than itself, meaning it being one, there needs to be a drop in vibrational level, or it would just stay oneness forever, infinitely. Yeah. So when that vibrational level drops, frequencies are created. Mm-hmm. And then when that vibrational level drops some more, it creates what we call now energy. And then as that slows down even more, it creates physical form or matter or what you think is solid and real in your physical life.
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone thinks that you have to do certain things on the physical to create change on the spirit level. It's actually inverse. The things that are higher in resonance, like at frequency level, because it dictates in that cascade what the physical form will look like. If you change things at the frequency level, the physical will reorganize extraordinarily quickly around it. So to get to what are distortion patterns, okay, and what do I care and why do I feel like I'm constantly hitting this freaking wall?
Yeah.
You're probably hitting up against your distortion patterns because they're invisible to you, but they're not invisible to you because you experience them. And the thing is, they create everything, including your thoughts. Like what we think are our thoughts and emotions are actually the physical embodied experience of that distortion. Meaning it's your expression of that distortion. Does that make sense? The distortion exists. You're expressing it as thoughts and feelings.
Okay.
So what the heck are distortions and where do they come from? Because I mean, I would want to know that.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you choose to have an embodied experience. Now, I realize that might be a stretch for some people because they're like, well, I don't know that I would have chosen this exactly, right? Because it kind of like, sucks.
If I could go with like Beyonce or like one of the, I would have gone for that body experience if I had the choice, but you know.
But here we are.
I'm going to go with this. I'll roll with this one. It's fine.
Exactly. But you chose to have an embodied experience. Why? Because, you know, the scientists have been saying for a while that 99.9999999% of everything is quote unquote nothing. And it's not nothing. It means it doesn't have form. 0.00000001% of everything has form or density. So it's a rare thing that we get to experience. I know that it doesn't feel good sometimes or a lot of the time, depending on who you are, but you get to have an embodied experience. So when you choose to come into embodiment, because here you are, you actually have to drop in vibrational rate. So again, you are consciousness and you need to have an embodied experience, which is like form, right? I mean, you have a body.
Yeah.
So when you, so for me, when I perceive these things, it's like a sphere of pure source energy, which by the way, has an individuated rate of vibration, meaning that rate of vibration is what causes you to be you and me to be me.
Okay.
So when that sphere of pure source energy vibrating at its own very unique rate drops, because it does, in vibration and comes into embodiment, something forms around it, meaning layers and 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 layers of what look like duct tape form around the sphere. Now, the sphere, there's nothing wrong with the sphere, okay? It's inherently still the sphere, it's pure source energy vibrating at its own unique rate. But what it forgets is that it's surrounded by pure source energy all around it. And it gets really, really, really heavy. and it starts to vibrate slower because, again, layers of duct tape. Heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are the layers? So the layers are distortion patterns. What do they come from? They come from things like what your ancestors experienced. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're what I would call lineage. Yes. So the field of epigenetics is mapping this, right? Where they are finding that what your ancestors experienced, whether you knew them, know their names, know their faces, they very much impact how your DNA expresses and what choices you make. Okay. So sciences start to mirror what's happening on spirit level. Then, of course, we have your cultural distortion patterns. We all have them.
Yep.
Your religious distortion patterns. Even if you particularly are not religious, like you didn't grow up in a particularly religious family, your lineage certainly was to some degree at some point, and it's influencing you.
Yep.
And also things like your past lives. So all of these things are distortion patterns, which you bump into, which cause you to feel and to think the way you do. So when you start to release distortion patterns, which is what I help you do, you start to feel different. And the thing is, you start to feel, some people start to feel different first and then their physical reality changes. Some people, it happens all at once. For me, it's been the way I feel first because it was kind of a subtle thing. You know, I started doing frequency work and I knew, I didn't feel that much actually the first time I did it at all. It wasn't a felt experience for me, but I just knew somehow that something had changed. And then I kept doing it because I was like, I know something's changed. I'm just going to keep doing this. I don't know why, but I'm just going to keep doing it. And then after maybe it was a month, Chris was like, hey, you're not spread cheating. Have you noticed that? I'm like, nope, didn't notice that. But yeah, it feels so much better. But you know what I mean? It just kind of became my new normal in a way.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. I help people to release the distortion patterns that keep them stuck and keep them from experiencing the life that they want to create.
Okay. Like all of that, my brain is like whirring now with making sure that I'm understanding it, but also like a million questions.
Yeah.
So one of the things that came up that I'm wondering if this is similar, some of the stuff I've researched in the past and looked at in the past is things about emotions being at different frequency levels. Is that similar or is that completely different?
It's similar.
Okay.
In the sense that your emotions definitely have a different frequency rate and it's still within the realm of the physical. So obviously, like fear will, to me, drop your frequency resonance as a whole, right? Because now you're worried, you're not even thinking about what you're doing right now. You're freaked out about something that's happening. You're like completely, you know what I mean? Like how you feel just sucks. You make poor decisions, you know, you influence people negatively around you.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have something like joy and gratitude, that frequency level is higher. But those things are, to me, kind of an indication of your own general frequency resonance. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So the higher in frequency resonance you become, the amazing thing is that, first of all, okay, this is, I don't know if this is a game changer for any of your audience members. For me, it was huge. I was able to let go and go into surrender more. Okay, so I realize that might not sound like a big deal, but for me, I was such a control freak. I was like, yeah, I'm not letting go of a damn thing. Because I don't know what's going to happen if I do, right? So I had all this fear around that.
Yeah.
But once I started releasing my distortion patterns of fear, I was able to go into more surrender because I was generally higher in my frequency resonance. Does that make sense? My general resonance, my general vibrational level was higher.
Yeah.
So I was able to go into more of a flow state. I was able to be more in ease, like for real, not just like for like 5 minutes in my day, like generally. You know?
So but I guess, again, this is like kicking up loads of things. So one of the things, funny enough, that just came up today, I do a group coaching call in my membership and someone was talking that they were really nervous about where some money was coming from, as in, this offer wasn't going well, this wasn't. So they created a new offer. And I talked about the fact of making decisions in fear is a really bad idea because we are not thinking straight. We're doing things it wouldn't do. And I always balance an element of the personal development, the spiritual side with the practical side. So how do you, because when you are in that moment of fear and I think most of us, if we've done a bit of this work, we can go, this is an emotion. This is a thought. This is going on in my head. This is not fact, you know, or some of it might be coming. The feeling isn't fact, but it's driven by something that is say fact because they didn't sell something. How do you get to that point? Well, maybe not how do you get to that point, but I'm just trying to get in our heads that actually, is there a point where you can honestly let go? Because it feels like I want that so bad for me and everybody. Yes. Like, I really want the thought of you could be having an absolute shit show in your business.
Yeah.
But
yet
somehow you're just rising above it and going and having that faith and that trust and that. And it's so easy for me to do as a coach to have that faith and trust for them because I'm not emotionally involved in it. So, like, I guess I don't think I really asked the question, but I'm just thinking like the reality of I guess the question is, how do you try and live more at that kind of higher level, but not be irresponsible?
Totally. And that's a really great question that a lot of people ask. The thing is, it's interesting. So I would say that you have a distortion pattern where you have like a consequence of like a punishment consequence if you live too big. So meaning if you are quote unquote free, then there's something that's going to come along like, you know, out of left field that's going to ruin it for you, right? Because you're not really allowed to be there for that long. And if you are there for too long, there's a whole bunch of stuff there around like, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Right. And am I really worthy of this? Some imposter syndrome in there, you know, like maybe I'm not really all that. Am I really walking the talk? So all of these are distortions that when you start to release them, you realize, well, wait a minute. If I'm really co-creating my reality, which I believe we are, whether consciously or unconsciously, and I create something I don't want, we have such fear because we're so conditioned to believe that we're going to be punished if we do something really glorious, that you can just create something new. You're like, wait a minute, that was just a lesson. Okay, well, I'll just create something different. You know what I mean? Like as humans, we get very vested in that like one thing and our focus narrows because we're seeing things from our ego mind perspective. Like this is limited. Things are scarce. We don't have enough. This is my one shot. You don't have one shot. You have many, 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 many shots. And it might be that you need to have the shit show in order to be like, okay, I just learned a stuff, bought a stuff. I'm going to pause. I'm going to release some distortion. And then what's going to happen is weirdly, as your frequency resonance rises, more opportunity comes in that you don't expect. Like literally, I have like hundreds and hundreds of testimonials of people being like, I was not looking for this. It literally fell into my lap. Mm. Because why? So from my perspective, there's the field of infinite possibilities. Yes? Deepak Chopra has been talking about this since like the 80s. Okay. Yeah. So there's this like the field of infinite possibilities. So if there's field of infinite possibilities, why am I in this crappy one? Why is this all happening? Right? I mean, I wonder that too. Okay, here's the thing. The key to it's not about that it doesn't exist. It's about accessibility. Mm-hmm. The key to accessing higher, better, more abundant, more joyful possibilities has to do with your vibrational level, period. How high you vibrate, I know it sounds so woo-woo, okay? So I apologize.
Yeah,
but it's true.
I'm here for it.
You know? Yeah. So the higher your frequency resonance is, or said differently, your vibrational level, the higher your frequency resonance, the more possibilities that are open to you that are a higher resonance, meaning that there are more, like you just said about emotion, right? Happiness vibrates higher than anxiety.
Yeah.
Joy vibrates a lot higher than apathy, right? Mm-hmm. So do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my point is, if you want the higher level opportunities, choices, experiences, you yourself have to resonate higher. So that's why it's the key to everything. So to answer your question, how do you get to that? You release the distortion patterns. It's never, you know, if you'd asked me this 5 years ago, would you be doing this? I'd be like, you are freaking nuts, right? It's not something you learn. It's something you are. Like it's simply like, and I'm certainly not saying I'm any kind of weird guru type or like God-like person. I'm just like a human, right? Like everybody else learning things. But what I'm focused on is raising my frequency resonance. And I don't know exactly why it happened, to be perfectly honest, other than I'm really curious and perhaps I was just pushing myself, that I managed to get to this vibrational level that this is possible. So I just want to underscore this. it's possible for everyone. It's just a matter of how high your frequency resonance is. And I just happen to be one of the first movers. Does that make sense? Right? It's not really like I'm particularly special. But what's happening is that consciousness is risen enough that someone like me is able to work at this level. Mm-hmm. So for me, what I do is instead of, you know, like those healer guru types who are like, I will save you will always be codependent on me forever.
Yeah. Normally comes as
not
kind
a
of
fan
cult,
of this,
you know, and money.
Okay, I know. It's just like, is this still working? Okay. Yeah. So my thing is to give people tools and to empower people to start to do it themselves, because it's not really about me doing it for you. Mm-hmm. You have free will. You are able to co-create your life. You are the only one who can liberate you.
Yeah.
So it's about taking that responsibility, because so many people want to just lie back and be like, okay, do your thing, wave your wand, let's be done.
Do the spell,
I'll just wake up.
Fix me. Yeah. Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm sure you see this in your coaching too. But the thing is, you have this beautiful and horrible thing called free will, right? And we make choices all the time. And so the magic of free will is that you get to, because when you finally get to the point where you releasing your distortion patterns, you rise in your vibration and you recognize things are so different around you, it's yours. Mm-hmm. You did it. You know what I mean? No one else did it for you. You did it, which is a really glorious thing for us to really be able to own and to know. And so I think that's missing a lot in a lot of things. And
yes,
I feel like it's really time that we claim that for ourselves, because we can. And it's just a matter of, do you want to choose it? Do you want to be responsible and aware of yourself? Because, you mean, this is what coaching is, I imagine, to some degree, where it's like awareness is really key. Without awareness, I mean, you're just like walking around blind, not even realizing what the hell the problem is.
Yeah.
Right? But when you have awareness, that's the thing about frequency work. Because when you receive frequency work from me, so I'm releasing things in the field. So all those things I just like rattled off for you that I don't remember right now because I'm not thinking about it. So all those things I just rattled off, we would release those things, okay, at the frequency level, which gives you tremendous momentum. But you as the individual who is sovereign and who is creating your reality has to do the work of when that shows up in your life to recognize your authority as co-creator and to be like, that is no longer mine. Yeah. And there's like a five-step process to what I call confirm the removal, so that because it's your free will, it's your journey, you know?
Yeah.
And it's amazing for me to see how fast people can change. Like people who struggled with, like, for example, so I just gave a retreat in Peru, okay? And we did an amazing amount of stuff. It was like a bucket list trip for a lot of people, et cetera. So one of the people who was on this retreat was a woman who is a lawyer and a teacher, okay? So, and she advocates for a lot of different things. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And she's in her 70s. So she gets paid a certain rate, like her, in contract, right? So she gets paid a certain rate, okay, for her work. All right. She goes on the Peru retreat. What happens? Her resonance, her frequency resonance, like skyrockets in this retreat. She comes home, right? Sleeps a lot. She's tired. Within a couple of days of returning home, the same people that she had contracted with before offer her a 3x raise. 3x of her salary. Now, when she went to Peru, was she like, okay, I'm going to create my little intention list. I'd like to 3x my salary.
Could you give me 3x my salary? This is the car I'd like to be on my drive when I get home. And, but then isn't that part of it as well, though? Isn't that part of, and this is one thing that I find about the personal development work, the spiritual work of, it's almost like the more you let go of that stuff, the more that stuff comes to you.
So exactly, because this is what I call surrender.
Yeah, so the more you go, do you know what? The big house, the big car, like, you know, like at one point I would have been, you know, we had a conversation before we got started about the weather because I'm British and that's what we do, and about my garden and how growing vegetables. And like, and one of the things for me was because I was all about, and you know, I joke that everything in my world is VIP and I like it really nice and I like nice things. However, I am at my most happiest, my probably physical highest vibration when I'm in the garden and I'm planting seeds and I'm, and like the more you see the gratitude for the non physical, material things, the mm-hmm. more it's almost available to you.
Absolutely. Yes. Because in order to really experience abundance and to really clear your ability to manifest, there's two states you need to be in order to have that. And that's neutrality and what I call surrender from strength. So I call mm-hmm. it from surrender from strength because everyone thinks of surrender, like in our language, how we use the word surrender, mm-hmm. it's like we're helpless and a victim. So someone's holding yeah. us at gunpoint or, yeah. you know, we're powerless. Yes. So when we think of surrender, it's like we have lost. That's mm-hmm. generally surrender in our language. So if you think about that and you're somebody who was like me, like very controlling, I'm like, I'm never going to give up. And I'm not suggesting that you should give up.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm just saying that's what my resistance to that word was. Mm-hmm. Surrender from strength means that you start to clear enough of your distortions, that you're high enough in your frequency resonance, that you are confident that you can transcend whatever comes your way. Like you just know that you can. It's like you understand and you know on a very deep level your own internal strength, which many of us don't fully realize. Like mm-hmm. we're freaked out that we're not going to be able to. Like we really yeah. truly are. Like, oh my yeah. God, I'm not going to be able to transcend. I'm going to fail. I'm going to whatever. Right? But yeah. when you get high enough in your resonance and you've cleared enough your distortion, you can actually do it. And if I can do it, because I was such a control freak, I promise mm-hmm. you, you can too. So that is really important because it's exactly what you just said, which is like, okay, I'm going to let go of it, not because I'm passive and weak, but it's just because I let go of the attachment to it.
Yes.
Like
yes.
it means something about yeah. me that I have those things. Okay? Yeah. And the amazing thing is once you get into this state of surrender from strength and neutrality, which is also this incredible state that you can't think your way to. So everyone thinks neutrality is like non-emotional. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that. It simply means you're not attached to the outcome. Mm-hmm. So you're open to any outcome. So it makes you very open. And it's funny because when we try to manifest certain things, we can be really fixed on the outcome. You know, mm-hmm. I used to be, I'm like, I want this. It has to look like that. It has yeah. to come to me this way.
Yeah.
But when you get into the state of neutrality, the amazing thing is everything becomes more flowy because you're like, that could be amazing. That could also be amazing. And I know that I can transcend. So even if it looks like it sucks, I'm going to learn something from it.
Yeah.
But you actually come to that place as opposed to just thinking that'd be a nice idea if you actually were that. You actually mm-hmm. feel that way. And so things get a lot faster because your vibration is higher because you're in those states. You're not as triggered by people around you or external circumstances. You are more free because you can, you know, like you said, like you're there in the sunshine, hopefully mm-hmm. gardening yeah. when your seeds connect to the earth, present in the moment. Yeah, I know, hopefully that's happening. And it feels amazing to you because there's a freedom in it. Does that make sense? A connection to yourself. There's no expectation in this moment of what is supposed to be happening. Yep. You're just in it, which is like, glorious. Mm-hmm. And you start to like have more of these moments because as you said, it's not about the trappings of mm-hmm. success, which yeah. by the way are amazing.
Yes.
It's about how you feel. Mm-hmm. And the thing is when you get the trappings, instead of feeling like you don't deserve it or someone's going to steal it from you or it's going to go yeah. away or someone's going to find out whatever that you're not worthy of having it, whatever, you actually just enjoy it. You're like, yeah. this is amazing. Okay. Yeah. I freaking love business class in the plane.
Oh no, I do. I really do.
Like real China? Yes, please.
Yeah. Like, that lies down. Thank you very much.
Likely.
So there's a couple of things that I want to touch on about, and it's funny, the regular listeners to this podcast will be like, Teresa's never been so quiet. Like, honestly, because I'm just sat here listening to it all in awe. So when I think about the gardening thing,
yeah.
it's funny because it's exactly the things that you said. I completely surrender because I can't mm-hmm. make those things grow. I can do right. the things that they need to grow, mm-hmm. but if they grow, it's not up to me. So I have to surrender of the outcome. I have to like go and I detach from what might happen. So I don't sit yeah. there going, be an amazing tomato. I mean, I'd be a bit weird if I did. But, like, and that is, and I think maybe that's why it feels so lovely and zen,
yes.
if I can use that word. But that's why, because even though I obviously want the outcome of the fruit and the veg and the whatever I'm growing,
yeah,
I know that it's so out of my control. It doesn't yes. mean I can't do the things I need to do in order to give it the best start, but it is very much out of my control. Yeah. So that's I just love that, as you said,
that's
it.
Perfect.
Analogy. So I've perfect got two metaphor. Things that I want to pick your brain with before I let you go. So
please.
The first thing is, on a coaching call this morning, mm-hmm. I'm talking to one of my members, and she tells me that for the last 3 years, her mm-hmm. turnover in her business has increased. And she's mm-hmm. been year on year on year building her turnover. However, mm-hmm. she looked at her profit, and her profit mm-hmm. for the past 3 years has almost been to the penny the same, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoo, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And so we talked a bit about, so I obviously said the very practical thing of have a look at your outgoings, where is that money going, why, you mm-hmm. know, and actually if you increased X amount of business, are you likely to increase your outgoings more? But then mm-hmm. obviously I had to address, because it just was screaming at me, that the fact that she said over 3 years without even paying any attention, it's almost mm-hmm. to the penny the same. It's like mm-hmm. something, there is a wall there that you are hitting.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So for her, she's hitting this pattern. And I realize that this might potentially sound odd. Okay.
Okay.
I'm because she obviously would like to have more profit. That's why she's 100%. Working her tail off.
Yes. Yes? He does.
Right. Okay. But the thing is, for her, she has fear of not being in that state where she's working her tail off. So I realize that sounds strange, mm-hmm. but sometimes even though we yearn for growth or we yearn for change, where we have fear of success, okay, it is actually a distortion pattern. Yeah. And what there also is fear that when everything changes, that her relationships will change, not only to other people, but to herself. She also has this really deep pattern. I don't know how aware of it she is, but of low self-worth, like, oh my God, if I get to there mm-hmm. and then I fail and I come down, what will people think of me? So she's afraid of judgment, but she's also afraid, like, because of this low self-worth, that she'll be able to maintain it. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? So if she's still there struggling, it's like she can have the story of, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. I'm doing all yeah. the work. I've done a thing. Check, 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 check. There's nothing else I should be doing. Do you see what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. if you release these distortion patterns, even though she really desires the change on such a strong level, mm. there's all this fear stacking up. And she has a lot of fear in her lineage running through the females, especially on her maternal line. So because that's running through her so strongly, it's not like it's her fault that it's there, but she has the opportunity to change it. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? So it's yeah. not like you came into the embodiment, right? So no one's like, you suck. You came into the embodiment. You have these distortions. It's not really about that. No. It's more like, okay, wait a minute. I'm learning now that I can release these. Okay. And I'm not suggesting one the only modality out there that can help you release them. I've just found that frequency work is the fastest. Mm-hmm. And as you said, because it's less known, just like your garden, mm-hmm. people don't have as much expectation around it, right? Mm-hmm. Because like for you, you're like, okay, I'm doing all the things and the seed is going to grow as strong and as well as it's gonna. And I can't yeah. control the weather and I nope. can't control the chemical balance in the roots perfectly
yeah,
and
yeah.
what critters eat it or don't yeah, or all that do. Stuff, right?
Yeah.
You just can't.
No.
It's the same with frequency work. You start to get to this place where you're like, you really recognize that you don't have control. Mm-hmm. And in that surrender, it's really lovely because then as you surrender, you recognize, it's so weird because it sounds opposite. As you come into that surrender space even more, it's like this liberation because then you're like, okay, well, whatever happens, it's kind of like amazing because you're kind of curious too. You know, like what is going to happen to this tomato? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's the same with your life. So the more you can attach less, the more there is room for your life to rise in your frequency resonance and to expand. And what's amazing to me, Teresa, is that the people who like have unbelievable change, like they like look at their lives and they're like, what is this? Because it's not the same as it was a couple months ago mm-hmm. or 6 months ago or a year ago, you know, like I didn't know that I would be living in this new place with this new partner, with this new job. Like I didn't know any of that. The people who move the fastest are the people who can release fear fastest, meaning like with their free will, like notice that they have fear and move through it.
Yeah.
And the second is not bind to what should be. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cause we have all these rule sets. It yep. should be this way because it's always been this way.
Yeah.
They should be this way because yeah. they've always been this way in relation to me. I should be this way. So the more you like hang on to that, you're like, yeah. I really want yeah. that thing to be the same because it gives me certainty and comfort. The mm-hmm. slower it's going to be. Mm-hmm. the people who are like, let's just chuck that and see what happens, you know, to the best that they can at greater degrees, just like you do with your garden in a, in a way, the more change happens at a rate that can be astonishing.
Yeah, I love that. So then the other example I wanted to give you to get whether this is similar. So, and before I say this, I'm going to say to my audience, I love you, but I don't need any help from you all. But thank you, though, because evidently when I talk about my weight, people then go, oh, have you tried such and such? And it's like, you know, I don't want the suggestions. I'm all good. Thank you. But one thing that's been fascinating for me, I say fascinating because otherwise I'd say bloody annoying, but we'll go with fascinating. It's so interesting. That's my, like when things are going bad, it's like, it's so interesting that that's happening. So is that for a long while, I have been a consistent weight and yet I have done
everything.
Right. And when, and people, I think sometimes people hear that and they're like, yeah, though, have you though? Have you, did you really count your calories? Did you, are you sure you weren't snacking? Because some people are a little bit deluded themselves, but I can assure you after years of therapy and personal development, I'm very aware of myself. So, and I work with a nutritionist and like I did things where I dropped calories massively overnight. I did things where I ate certain things, I removed things, I put things in, I then didn't care and I just ate whatever I wanted. And no matter what I did, never lost a pound. Never, ever, ever. And I remember someone saying to me, which I never quite got to the bottom of, but someone who did, she was a Reiki person. And she said to me, and this was years and years ago, because I have had weight battles, which even that word... And now in what you're saying is like, well, that could be half of the reason, but I've had these weight things for such a long time. And she will say to me and other people will say to me, there's a reason. There's a reason you're holding on to it. There's a reason you're holding on to it. And it's like something like that, that with the mindset stuff, I can get it. I can get that it's a grayer area. It's harder to see like, and it's all happening up here. But when you have physically done everything that on paper, like I had to, I was having an operation done and they wouldn't do it because of my weight. And I had to go back in and see the consultant and basically beg them to do it. I had to go private in the end. But I took a letter from my nutritionist. I did a printout of what I ate in a week. I photographed every meal because it was so perfect. I ate so well. And on paper, I should be half the size I am. And I'm not. And I just... I'm interested to get your thoughts as to whether you think that's something to do with that.
Well, are you okay with me telling you what your distortions are around it?
Absolutely fine. Let's go for it.
All right. So, well, it runs pretty deep for you, but there, the topmost fear is that your body is afraid that if you get lighter, that you'll die. I know you know that you're not going to die. And you're like, I could freaking not eat for like a half a year. I would not be dead. Okay. So I'm aware of what you know intellectually, but because of your lineage patterns where there's often been not enough and there is starvation pattern happening, what happens is your body holds on to weight. And if you, it doesn't matter. In fact, if you eat less, your body's going to hold on to it harder. I know that's extraordinarily frustrating because you're like, screw you. I've just been depriving myself for like years. So believe me, I get it. And so that's the first thing. So your body is in fear, right? Of death. So if you're afraid of dying, right? Not consciously, but that's pattern running.
Yep.
Chances are you're not going to release weight because the fear is so strong. Make sense?
Yeah.
And then we also have this pattern running through you of it's like your identity. So meaning, and I know that you've done a lot of personal development work. I know you're like, okay, can we just freaking shift the mindset or change the mentality?
I'm open to all this.
So it's more like because it's how you present the world and who you've been and your struggle, it's part of your identity. Now, identity is something that's like ethereal, right? I mean, it's like, it's a feeling, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, if you were to release this part of your identity, even though you are desperate to, okay, so I fully understand that, there is a part of you, it's like, well, what would change? Everything. And you're like, you would think like, oh, it's all good, but it's not necessarily because you also have an awareness, whether or not you're conscious of it. You know, not everyone's going to be super supportive of you being like 40 pounds lighter. You know what I mean? Like people are not going to be like, go you, you know, not everyone is delighted when we have change. That's really positive. Unfortunately, that is the way of things. And so there's this fear of loss, right? Because everyone is so comfortable with you being this certain way that when you change, it changes your relationships, right? Because how they relate to you now and their story of themselves is being threatened because you have changed. Mm-hmm. And it's really terrifying. And some people are going to get really angry. And there's a part of you on some level that's aware of it. And you're like, well, screw it. I don't care. I want to do it anyway.
Yeah.
But there's this awareness because there's this other distortion pattern, which is the fear of being outcast. So you have a couple of lives, past lives, where you have been pushed out in the world. Mm-hmm. Okay. Outcast for certain reasons. And in two of them, you've died. Others, you haven't. But it's also a really horrible experience to be not part of a community trying to survive. Mm-hmm. Okay? And a number of those lifetimes, you were female. So you're basically almost screwed. You know what I mean? Like if you're in that situation, alone, outcast, female, you're in trouble.
Yes.
So in those lifetimes, it's a very horrifying kind of experience in terms of trying to be okay. So do you understand what I'm saying? I know it sounds like, okay, she's just making this shit up. Sorry. I don't know if I'm supposed to.
It's fine. Cars. You're fine.
So is she making this stuff up?
You are fine.
But I'm reading you, right? Like I'm going to forget. I actually don't remember what I just said because I'm just, for me to be able to be aware of you on frequency level, it's a very different like focus for me. It's like a slight shift, but I don't really think per se. So I actually don't have a memory of what I just told you. And so in any case, when you start to clear this up, what happens is your physical starts to reorganize. And what I said wasn't like easy stuff necessarily. Nice. It wasn't like, you know what I mean? It's like releasing a deep-seated fear of death. Yeah. I mean, is pretty huge.
Yeah.
So there's all of that. And there's also in your lineage, this very strong link between abundance and physical weight.
Yes.
Right? So it's partial safety. It's like you're carrying your wealth on your body. Doesn't make sense. I know that sounds weird.
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So that's all in there.
And there's so much of what you've said that resonates with me for lots of reasons. And some really immediate, like some within my own childhood of not having enough food, you know, and again, my own childhood of we were really poor. And therefore there is an element of me that is like, I can buy the nice food, I can have the nice drink, I can do the nice things. And you are 100% correct in the sense of, I know that because I've made a big shift in me this last year. And actually, by the time this episode goes out, I would have talked about it publicly, which I haven't done up until, while this has been recorded. But basically, I spent the last 12 months getting sober. And for me, that was obviously it was massive anyway. But there are people who do not like the fact in my world because, and if I then lose all the weight, they're going to be like, holy crap, like get out. Like,
yeah.
And that sounds crazy to say that, but it is the truth. I know it is. You know, I know there are people that really liked the fact that Teresa was the bigger, jolly, crazy. She was the one you could guarantee to be the party animal. Like, And I am shifting that entire thing and it's making people feel uncomfortable. And
yeah.
And it's making me feel uncomfortable because I just spent the last 12 months working out, am I still me? And is this still okay? And am I safe not being that Teresa who drinks every night and is good fun and everything revolves around having a glass of champagne in her hand? Because again, that comes down to wealth. You know, I can afford champagne, so I'm going to drink a ton of it. Like, you know, I love it. There's so much there. So much. Karen, I have really, really enjoyed this conversation and I very much appreciate
you
sharing with us, not only everything that you've told us, but also doing some stuff with me particularly. I very much appreciate that. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast. If people want to come and find out more about you, where is the best place to come and find you?
Okay. So you can find me on sphericalluminosity.com. Which is my website.
Yep.
And then for your audience, what I'm giving as two free gifts, if you are interested in them, is one is a free online workshop and GFC meditation on quieting your mind. Because if you're a business owner, chances are that's a problem.
Yep, 100%. I love it.
So that's one thing. And the other thing is my ebook and audiobook on creation manifestation, why it fails and what to do about it, along with my most popular 15-minute morning meditation setting the tone of the day. So literally, if you listen to this, it puts you in the highest vibration level possible every morning. It takes less than 15 minutes. And people will tell me, I started listening to this and it's the craziest thing because my days have totally been different. It's not like they never have a bad day, but it's like how they feel and what their day looks like is totally different.
Amazing.
So that's usually $55 in value. And then if you use the coupon DREAMBIZ, it is free for you.
Amazing. Thank you so much. We will make sure that we link up to all of that in the show notes. Karen, you've been so very generous with your time, knowledge, and these gifts. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So that was the amazing Karen Chong. Like, I don't often come off podcasts and think, I need to listen to that again, but I need to listen to that again. And I would urge you to maybe listen to that one again, because there's so much in there. And in my opinion, and my thought is, if, and from what Karen was saying, if you can go through life feeling, you know, happier, more enjoyment, more relaxed, more abundant, more all of those things, more surrender, then surely that's got to be a good thing. Like, surely that is not a bad thing to do. And if this is what helps, then amazing. So I hope you have an amazing day. Please come and tell us what you thought of this. I would love for you to come and drop me a DM or tag us in on Insta or something. I'd love to know what you thought. And please do go check out those gifts. We will make sure we tag them in the show notes. I will see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to Your Dream Business Podcast. And if you loved this episode, then please feel free to go and share it on your social media or head over to iTunes and give me a review. I would be so very grateful.